Fox, Dr. Bill, The Cup of Joe Show, Mark Levine, Bob Kincaid, all good radio men. All of them. And you want truth, you want to put forth passionately, you keep listening to Head On Radio Network. We'll be back tomorrow. Don't forget, we're going to have Larry Johnson, and you will enjoy him, I guarantee you. He'll provide a good interview. You're listening to the Guy James Show and the Head On Radio Network. Don't forget you.
You're listening to The Horn, the Head-On Radio Network.
This is the Quality News Network. A report by the Inspector General of the Justice Department says the department and the FBI often used inaccurate terrorism statistics to point out successes in the war on terror. The report described the collection of statistics as, quote, decentralized and haphazard. In Iraq today, a tanker carrying chlorine gas exploded outside of a restaurant. At least 6 people were killed and 105 were injured or sickened by the toxic fumes. An Iraqi official said there was a bomb bomb on board the tanker. In Baghdad today, a suicide bomber attacked a funeral procession, killing at least 7 people. 11 other people were killed in a suicide car bomb attack, also in Baghdad. The U.S. military said today an American soldier died Sunday from a non-battle-related cause. In February, at least 62 American forces have died in the Iraq War. In eastern Afghanistan today, 6 NATO troops were wounded as they tried to stop a suicide bomber from striking a hospital. In India, the death toll from Sunday's evening's train bomb blast and fire is now 68. Indian police released sketches today of 2 male suspects. In Washington, D.C., President Bush today swore in the new director of national intelligence, Vice Admiral Mike McConnell. He's the nation's second DNI and replaces John Negroponte, who left to become deputy secretary of state. A federal appeals court ruled today that Guantanamo Bay detainees cannot challenge their detention in U.S. civilian courts. This ruling upholds a key aspect of President Bush's anti-terrorism policy. At the CIA leak trial of Lewis Scooter Libby today, closing arguments were presented. Prosecutors said Libby, the former chief of staff to Vice President Dick Cheney, concocted an implausible story. His defense attorneys responded that because of so many memory failures, it is unfair to convict Libby. Iran's president remains defiant in face of tomorrow's UN Security Council deadline to halt his country's nuclear program. He told a crowd today that fair talks would demand Western nations also shut down their nuclear programs. The White House dismissed his proposal. Israel warned today that if Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas goes ahead with plans to form a new unity government with Hamas, Israel would stop dealing with him. Last week, an agreement between the two Palestinian factions, Fatah and Hamas, was reached in Saudi Arabia. You are listening to the Quality News Network. We have science and listening to the Quality News Network.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
JetBlue Airways faces $30 million in losses because of the recent passenger delays, which left some travelers stuck on the tarmac for more than 10 hours during last week's snowstorm at New York's JFK Airport. The CEO of the company said passengers would be reimbursed for those delays. After yesterday's announcement of a proposed merger between XM and Sirius Satellite Radio, questions remain about whether the $13 billion deal will win federal regulatory approval. The Warner Music Group has made another takeover bid for the British music company, the EMI Group. There have been 4 previous merger attempts which failed in the past 7 years. Today, the U.S. Supreme Court threw out a nearly $80 million verdict against a smoker's widow. The punitive damages award against Philip Morris USA was rejected because the jury was not properly instructed. Home Depot says its fourth quarter profit fell 28%. The new CEO repeated again that his company will focus on improving customer service and its retail stores. Tesla Motors, an all-electric car manufacturer, has chosen Santa Fe as the site for its auto assembly line. Light sweet crude is trading at $58.07 a barrel. And at the close of Wall Street today, the Dow had another record high close, up 19 points at 12,786. The NASDAQ was up 17, the S&P 500 up 4. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff.
This is a top to a, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11, oh, 11,
and most
11,
of the amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10, You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up, all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is, if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show. It's Foxed Up with John Fox, where we turn Conversation Radio into Conservation Radio. Foxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions in Sydney, Australia, and the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They're building the American dream every day. B1 Louder by ringing 877-443-2366. That's 877, the numeral 4, head on. Now, your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox.
All right, everybody. Welcome aboard Foxed Up for a Monday afternoon or Tuesday morning, depending on where you reside. And, oh, it's a happy day. Auntie Agnes is back home. Back in the control chair, Agnes Kincaid has returned. All is well with the network. Our den mother is back. Welcome aboard, folks. I had to say that because, man, it's just amazing what happens when, you know, a couple people end up having to pull themselves out of the loop for a while. All hell breaks loose. And we all missed you desperately, Agnes, and it's great to have you back on the other end of producing this program. We got heaps and heaps and heaps and heaps of stuff to do today, folks. getting questions. Den mother? I don't know why that came out. Anyway, let's move on. a few interesting things as the environmental and water debate heats up here in Australia and the Iraq debate. Poll numbers have been doing some interesting things over here. For the first time in a long time, the opposition here in Australia has overtaken the Prime Minister John Howard in extensive polling as preferred Prime Minister. And the ALP is blowing away the coalition by a full 8 points at the moment. And these are all good things, fueled by some just wonderful performance from Mr. Kevin Rudd, who's just been absolutely outstanding over the past few weeks, bringing the debate to the forefront. And you'd be amazed if you I think Australia's finally caught on that we're in a serious water crisis here. The discussion is just everywhere in the media. There's a new current affairs program on here on the ABC here called Difference of Opinion, where debate come discussion program. And last night's subject was on the water crisis, and they had various water experts and whatnot on from kind of across the spectrum. One of the gentlemen who was involved in research for the federal water project that Howard's talking about at the moment, someone from the Australian Conservation Fund, CEO of the Murray Darling Water Basement Irrigation Program, and a can't remember who where the other one came from, but everybody basically said we got to do everything at once right now because it's bad. It's bad. Now, we actually had some serious rain here last week, which was wonderful. And for the first time in a year, the water table in New South Wales actually went up a couple of points. We went from, I think, 33% of capacity to something like 37%. So, you know, we need a good month or two of rain like that to get us seriously out of trouble. But anyway, that's not really what I was going to get on about today. Got heaps of stuff to try and get through today. Now, on Australia's environmental front, I think this is a very cool thing. Light bulb ban coming to Australia, looks like. And from the Sydney Morning Herald, we have here, it says, the inefficient standard light bulb could be phased out within 3 years to save up to 800,000 tons of greenhouse gas emissions. The Federal Environment Minister, Malcolm Turnbull, who I don't really like, but this is an okay move, is expected today to announce a commitment to phase out incandescent light bulbs by 2009-2010, a world first by a national government. It hopes to convince state and territory governments to introduce energy performance standards that would lead to the replacement of standard light bulbs with more efficient but more expensive alternatives such as compact fluorescents. We'll also negotiate with manufacturers to phase out the bulbs. Now, even a $10 compact fluorescent pays for itself in 12 months. You know, and they even, you know, make the point here. Energy Australia says by using just one 15-watt compact fluorescent bulb instead of a 75-watt standard bulb, consumers could save about $10 a year. And lighting can make anywhere from 12 to 25% of Australia's greenhouse gas emissions. So this would be a good thing. Now, I don't like Turnbull because I believe he's got his nose straight up the rump of the coal mafia. So, you know, we won't see with this guy any of the really big changes that need to be made as far as, you know, abandoning the concept that clean coal is a reality that can be implemented sometime soon, and various other issues. Because he was a denier up until, well, the polling got to be so strong by, you know, of the Australian people's concern over the environment that John Howard and the Liberals had no choice but to get on board. However, you know, they're going to try and play. They're still playing too much politics with it. They got to stop with the politics because this is really a nonpartisan issue, which is where we need to continue to drive the conversation, or else we're not going to get anywhere. but you know, I'll take every step that comes. You know, seriously. It's a situation where we need to just, you know, and this is globally, we need to reassess how we run our daily lives. And, you know, there was an argument last night saying, you know, why should people get used to less water? We're a first-class nation. We have a standard of living to maintain. And someone made the response of, well, isn't it an intelligent nation that lives within its means? And I think that I think it was a great statement by just a, you know, general public person. The general public's not as dumb as we sometimes make them out to be. Me being one of them. But anyway, it's coming up on, 1:15, and we're gonna take our first break and come back and talk about, George Jetson folding cars. We got stuff on cancer and GM potatoes, and we have our track of the day, and we're going to do some Stevie Wonder today. So stick around if you want to get in on the program. You can dial in at 1-877-443-2366 or email me, John, J-O-N, at headonradionetwork.com. And we will be right back after this on the Head On Radio Network. Took a cab to the shopping malls. Bought a name to eat to neither anymore. Then found love from China.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you. What's a conversation like on Head On with Bob Kincaid? This is what it's like.
Let's go. Let's talk to our good friend Phil down in Daytona Beach, Florida. Hey, Phil, welcome to the program. Good to hear from you.
Thanks, Bob. Good to hear you, too. I want to remind people that the military take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. And when people say they're fighting for our freedom by defending the Constitution, which defines our freedoms and supposedly is there to protect them, that's what it really means. Not doing whatever this outrageous civilian leadership dictates that it does.
Head On with Bob Kincaid. Conversation at its finest. Weeknights, Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Only at Head On Radio Network and chat at headonradionetwork.com.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black. And if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
Hello, Cleveland! Hello, Cleveland!
Sex and drugs and rock and roll.
You now make the world go round. Anyway, welcome back to Fox Up, everybody. Move over, George Jetson. I just think that this is one of the coolest things I've seen in a while. MIT Stackable Foldable City Car. Now, this comes via our good friends at treehugger.com. And they link to a Boston, I believe it's a Boston Globe story. And it says, researchers at MIT are building a prototype of a lightweight electric vehicle that can be cheaply mass-produced, rented by commuters under a shared-use business model, and folded up and stacked like grocery carts at subway stations or other central sites. It's called the City Car, and the key to the concept lies in the design of its wheels. The MIT team has transformed the lowly wheel into a robotic drive system that will power the city car. Embedded in each of its four wheels will be an electric motor, steering and braking mechanism, suspension, and digital controls, all integrated into sealed units that can be snapped on and off. And you go to the Boston.com article, it continues on. It says, under the hood? Well, there won't be a hood. On the city car, just an eggshell-shaped glass plate, part roof, part windshield, framing the modular cabin and stretched almost to the chassis. We're eliminating the internal combustion engine, said Media Lab research assistant Ryan Chin, studio coordinator for city cars. He said the four electric motors will enable a more efficient use of power by also dispensing with the transmission and drive line. We're removing as much of the hardware from the car
as possible. In its place will be software that sets passenger preferences, changes the color of the cabin, controls the dashboard look and feel, and even directs drivers to parking spaces. We think the car is a big mobile computer with wheels on it, Chin said. The car should have a lot of computational power. It should know where the potholes are. And like a computer, the car will start with the push of a button instead of instead of a steering wheel, it has handlebars, akin to a scooter or motorbike. But the ride will be more like a traditional car, though smoother and quieter, Chin said. The body of the car will be made of lightweight composite materials such as Kevlar or carbon fiber. Now, they're looking at having these things, the prototype happening and running around campus by the end of the year. And if you go to the Boston, if you go to boston.com and find this story, there's an interactive graphic about the city car, and it shows you how the thing folds up on itself. And by the graphic, it looks as though you'd be able to fit, four, five, or six of these vehicles in the space that you'd need to park a standard four-door sedan. And it's really cool looking, you know, and it doesn't quite fold up into a briefcase thing like the Jetsons, but it's got kind of this V-frame situation where it's hinged in the middle of the vehicle from front to back, and the whole wheel assembly kind of V's and folds up, and the chassis flips itself up, and you can just, you know, kind of like stack them together the way that you see, you know, the big trolleys at the big lumber yards, or like at an IKEA or whatever. And the idea is this carbon through your lifestyle rather than thinkly the wrong way to go about solving the problem with your relationships. And one of them is, you know, Steve and Laura met while unavoidably repeatedly cheated on Lisa with Sherry, a coworker. He paid Cheat Neutral just £2.50, and we invested his money in Alec. Thanks to Cheat Neutral, Steve was able to come clean about his cheating to Lisa, and when he presented her with the Cheat Neutral certificate, they realized they want Cheat Neutral continues to fund projects like Alex with his offset payments. Very well done. Very well done. And I think it makes a really, really great point. So, all right, I think we should get on to the track of the day. Seeing some reports in the news here lately reporting on the fact that London in the UK, or citizens of London are the most spied on in the world. And we are just under so much more surveillance each and every day. You know, I think that one of the reports said that in London, the average person is observed like almost 80 times per day in their regular kind of daily, you know, doings of things. And really, is this where we want to be, and how Big Brother is it? So, with the concept of Big Brother, I think this is just a great song off of probably my favorite Stevie Wonder record, Talking Book, Superstitious, and other things. But for today, I don't even know if this song was a charter or anything at the time, but you know, this goes back to the 70s, and how little things change. Have a listen to the lyrics. Big Brother, Stevie Wonder. Roll it, Agnes.
Your name is Big Brother. You say that you're watching me on the telly. See me go nowhere. You say that you're tired of me protesting. My name is nobody, but I can't wait to see your face inside my door. Your name is Big Brother. You say that you got me all in the muck.
name is Osteo.
Your name is Osteo.
I'll change if you vote me in as a president. I live in the ghetto. You just come to visit me round election time. Hi. Just live with us wall to wall. You can do, do.
He's a multi-instrument. Drums, bass, more than anything, is the chromatic harmonica work. It's an amazing instrument, and very few people can master it. And Stevie is a wonder. What can you say? Moving on. There's just so much to get to. Where do we start? It's really, really hard. There's a whole bunch of stuff. Well, real quick, Gene sent this one through right before the show started. From CNN.com, lead-laden lunchboxes okayed by government. Jesus. In 2005, when government scientists tested 60 soft vinyl lunchboxes, they found that 1 in 5 contained amounts of lead that medical experts consider unsafe, and several had more than 10 times hazardous limits. But that's not what they told the public. Instead, the Consumer Protection Safety Commission released a statement that they found no instances of hazardous levels, and they refused to release their actual test results, citing regulations that protected manufacturers from having their information released to the public. Oh, please. The data was not made public until the Associated Press received a box of about 1,500 pages of lab reports, in-house emails, and other records in response to a Freedom of Information Act request filed a year ago. The documents describe two types of tests. One involves cutting a chunk of vinyl of the bag, dissolving it, and then analyzing how much lead is in the solution. The second test involves swiping the surface of a bag and then determining how much lead has rubbed off. Yeah, Agnes, did George have one of these lunchboxes? In 2005? Probably. Oh, man, probably got some sort of bizarro Christian fundamentalist superhero lunchbox. This is where we need oversight, kids. This is sad. This is disgusting. You know, and the Consumer Product Safety Commission should be seriously taken to task over this one. You know, are they becoming, you know, another ministry of truth? It's the truth as we tell you it is. Okay, another one of these things that falls under the kind of a bit scary. From The Independent. Suppressed report shows cancer link fan of genetically modified foods. There's not enough. There's necessary. If we actually used solid organic farming practices, we wouldn't need the pesticides. We wouldn't need to be creating, you know, mutant strain veggies. But it says here, campaigners against genetically modified crops in Britain. Last are calling for trials of GM potatoes this spring to be halted after releasing more evidence of links with cancers in laboratory rats. UK Greenpeace activists said the findings obtained from Russian trials after an 8-year court battle with the biotech industry, vindicated research by Dr. Apad Putsai, P-U-S-Z-T-A-I, Putzai, whose work was criticized by the Royal Society and the Netherlands State Institute for Quality Control. The disclosure last night of the Russian study on the GM Watch website led to calls for David Miliband, the Secretary of State of Environment, Food and Rural Affairs, to withdraw permission for new trials of GM potatoes to go ahead at secret sites in the UK this spring. They have to make them secret sites because they know that environmental activists will find ways of getting at it because the public doesn't want this stuff. The UK tried to introduce genetically modified fruits and veggies into their markets a few years ago, and because they were forced to label it, no one would buy it. They couldn't sell it. They couldn't give it away. Let's see. Alan Simpson, a Labour MP and Green campaigner, said these trials should be stopped. The research backs up the work of Arpad Putzai, and it shows that he was the victim of a smear campaign by the biotech industry. There's been a cover-up over these findings, and the government should not be party to that. A frickin' men. Mr. Simpson said the findings which showed that lab rats developed tumors were released by anti-GM campaigners in Wales. Dr. Putzai and a colleague used potatoes that had been genetically modified to produce a protein, lectin. They found cell damage in rats' stomachs and in parts of their intestines. The research is likely to spark a fresh row over GM crops in Britain. Graham Thompson, a Greenpeace campaigner, said it is important because it backs up the research by Putzai, which was smeared at the time by the industry. You know, this last night that in India had to change their patent laws. Now there's over 500 pharmaceutical patents being revisited in India. And multinational pharmaceutical companies want to sell only their high-priced trademarked drugs, which they won't produce. They want to make it impossible for them to get them. Our profit, or you die. Greed and corporatism has gone way. It's just, it taints on, and it's hands. And, you know, as I just mentioned about, you know, GM crops in the UK when they first, you know, put them up at St. What do governments try and do? Make it illegal to label genetically modified foods. You know, so much for freedom, huh? Freedom of choice? You're not, you know, when people are lied to like this, they lose their ability to choose. And to me, that's not freedom at all. I caught in the QNN news as we went to air today, George Bush trying to equate. I mean, we're stretching here, buddy. Now, if the Iraqis got together and pushed the Americans and the coalition out, that would be a little bit more akin to a parallel of the Revolutionary War. Because you cannot install democracy. Boy, am I getting off on a tangent here. But that just really, really just... good thing I wasn't drinking coffee because it would be spewed all over my keyboard and my monitors and my mixer and everything else. That would just be awful. Oh, it's just sad. Anyway, folks, it's coming up on 45 past the hour, so we're going to take our final break of the day here on Foxed Up, and when we come back, we'll cover some more stuff. And I got kind of a neat thing about an outfit called Citizen Renew, and it's an interesting solar power scheme. You, too, could have solar power at no additional cost to you. We'll do that when we get back. So you're listening to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network, and we will be back right after this.
The Head On Radio Network is brought to you every night by the Carpenters and Millwrights of America, or more commonly called the Carpenters Union, The Millwrights are very specialized laser alignment and other highly specialized tools. We would like to thank the Carpenters and Millwrights for their working hard every day to provide a brighter future. Thank you from the head on.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibility. Is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and there's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters, all you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University.
Today, all Americans are feeling the pinch of high energy prices. And this winter, the cost of heating your home could account for nearly half of your energy bill. I'm Energy Secretary Sam Burr. Heat pump a checkup to ensure it's running as efficiently as possible. Proper insulation in attic, ceilings, floors, crawl spaces, and exterior and basement walls can save 30% on your home energy bill. And insulate the heating ducts, even in unheated areas of your house. Finally, installing a programmable thermostat will ensure you don't pay for energy you aren't using. Program the thermostat down to 65 degrees for 8 hours a day to reduce your heating bill by up to 10%. You have the power to make a difference. You can reduce your home energy bills and help our nation reduce its energy use.
For more energy efficiency tips, please visit our website at www.doe.gov or call toll-free 1-877-337-3463. This powerful savings message is provided by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Alliance to Save Energy.
Welcome back. Boxed up here for the last bit of things, and I believe my producer Agnes sent me this, and I think that this is very, very, very cool. You know, and lack of environmental, you know, anything. However, one of the key ways to move forward with cleaning up the environment is where business takes a lead. And if you go to renew.citizenry.com, that's renew.citizenry.com, this is an interesting thing. Just from their overview page, it says here, the use of solar electricity is a significant step towards energy independence and also a huge step in your car or your electric car plugged into your speak with these folks further. I just think that that's fantastic. Before we get out of here, a couple other things. Again, from our good friends at treehugger.com. Climate change will equal higher food prices. And see, this is one of the things. We've been getting away with for so long not actually paying for what we use. Virtually everything's been subsidized in one way or another. And one of the biggest problems was the externalizing of
This is the Quality News Network. In Iraq today, a tanker carrying chlorine gas with a bomb on board exploded outside of a restaurant. At least 6 people were killed and 105 were injured or sickened by the toxic fumes. In Baghdad today, a suicide bomber attacked a funeral procession, killing at least 7 people. 11 other people were killed in a suicide car bomb attack also in Baghdad. The U.S. military said today an American soldier died Sunday from a non-battle-related cause. That brings the U.S. death toll in the Iraq War to at least 3,144. A report by the Inspector General of the Justice Department says the department and the FBI often used inaccurate terrorism statistics to point out successes in the war on terror. The report described the collection of statistics as, quote, decentralized and haphazard. A federal appeals court ruled today that Guantanamo Bay detainees cannot challenge their detention in U.S. civilian courts. This ruling upholds a key aspect of President Bush's anti-terrorism policy. In eastern Afghanistan today, six NATO troops were wounded as they tried to stop a suicide bomber from striking a hospital. A New York man who faces charges of helping terrorists in Afghanistan has in the past given $15,000 to Republican organizations. He pleaded not guilty in U.S. District Court. In Washington, D.C., President Bush today swore in the new director of National Intelligence, Vice Admiral Mike McConnell. He's the nation's second DNI and replaces John Negroponte, who left to become Deputy Secretary of State. At the CIA leak trial of Lewis Scooter Libby today, closing arguments were presented. Prosecutors said Libby, the former chief of staff to Vice President Dick Cheney, concocted an implausible story. His defense attorneys responded that because of so many memory failures, it is unfair to convict Libby. In the West Bank today, three American women were kidnapped briefly, then released. It has become routine for foreigners in the West Bank to be taken by various Palestinian groups, then released a few hours later, unharmed. Israel warned today that if